You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. I'm Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton, Chief Creative Officer. How are you, Michael?
Pretty good. You?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'd be doing much better if I didn't manage to delete what we recorded last week.
Yes. That is certainly a problem. But we can fix that now.
Yes, we can. Well, what did you want to talk about? Did you want to go through any of the stuff that we talked about last week? I guess we can skip the Microsoft stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's those depths have been plumbed. Windows Phone, I mean, it remains to be seen what they're going to end up doing with it. Obviously, the loss of the Lumia line is a huge blow for consumers. Hopefully, they'll be creating something to replace it. Otherwise, I don't really see where they can go from here. But moving on to other things, we are now a weekend away from the craziest day in the nerd calendar.
I'm feeling the excitement.
This year, unlike many previous years, we are going to have the convergence of WWDC and E3 at the same time.
Well, it's on the same day as the Apple event?
The keynotes start on the same day as WWDC.
How can you decide what to watch?
In fact, it's even worse. The Microsoft press conference starts at 9:30 a.m., half an hour before the Apple keynote.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's watching that. Nobody. Good luck, Microsoft.
They're going to announce all terrible things. The new Xbox One, online only, you can't share games.
Right.
We're bringing back all the stuff you hate.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about a Surface Book phone?
Wrong venue.
A 10-inch phone?
It's not really the right venue for that. You've got the Microsoft keynote. You've got Apple's keynote. Then you've got Sony's keynote later in the day. Just nonstop geek news.
I should bring that microphone up a little bit higher. Yeah.
So, yeah, exciting day. It's going to be just an overload of information, especially if you don't watch any of it and then you decide to go on The Verge or Polygon after.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Polygon, I kind of want to get this out of the way because there's this recent news now that Sony has confirmed that the PS 4.5 or whatever it's actually really going to be called, it does exist.
Yes.
But we don't know if it's going to be released this year.
The new 4K PS4 is a thing. It exists. It will be released at some point. My money is on just before the holiday season to coincide with the launch of PlayStation VR. Because the new hardware will not only support 4K, but it will make PSVR run a lot smoother. Because part of the requirements for PSVR are that games run at least, I think at least 60 frames a second, but ideally 120.
So I guess people on the original PS4 are just going to be out of luck. It's probably not even going to run.
Oh, it'll run.
So I figured they wouldn't support it.
Well, the thing about this new console is it is a PS4. It just has better hardware inside. So it's going to be the same operating system. They're probably going to do a big OS update where they have new UI or something.
I hope so. Please. I've been complaining about that on previous episodes. They need to do something about it. It's not atrocious, but I just feel like they're not doing anything. They haven't had any updates to improve the usability.
It could be better. It could certainly be better. So they'll probably do a big OS update that adds a ton of like underpinning stuff. Cause as we've discussed previously, the way it's going to work is if you have a PS 4.5 and you put a PS4 game in and that game supports 4.5, you're going to find that the graphics are suddenly way better while playing that game.
Almost certainly.
Or the frame rate is way better. Like games that were 1080p 30 are going to be 1080p 60.
And that'll be a noticeable improvement in terms of smoothness.
Yeah. Plus, they'll be able to up textures, shadows, lighting, etc. while they're at it. It depends how far the developer wants to go in supporting the hardware. Obviously, backdated titles are probably not going to get brought forward. I could see CD Projekt Red doing an update where they turn on a bunch of the stuff that's on the PC version.
I'm sure Destiny 2 would look a lot nicer on the new PS4 as well.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm willing to bet that Bungie probably already has dev kits. Sony, they've kept it close to the vest, but I would assume they'd have to have given dev kits out to trusted developers.
I wonder if they'll do anything with the, not that it's bad because I think the PS4 actually looks pretty good, but I wonder if they'll make any aesthetic changes to the exterior of the product.
It's possible.
To differentiate at least, they must do even the most minimal change to differentiate the two consoles.
Yeah, I mean,
whether it's maybe maybe they've managed to miniaturize the components or make it slimmer or something.
Yeah, I could see it being slimmer. I could see them changing the colors slightly just to make it look new, which obviously it is, but if they look exactly the same, it'll kind of get confusing. So I could definitely see them changing it up a bit. The look of the PS4 is like really iconic though. It's a great looking console.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, I could see them doing
Xbox, which is a bit chunky.
A little bit, yes. Though the rumors are saying that will change. They are apparently going to announce a slim Xbox One this year, as well as their own Xbox 1.5 or Xbox 2 or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I mean, if you think that Microsoft just would sit idly by as Sony releases this new product that, you know, overtakes theirs, that's not going to happen.
There's no way. I mean, they're competitors. They probably have some kind of corporate espionage going on, so they're perfectly aware of what each other's doing. So they see Sony building this new magic PS4 that's better and allows backwards compatibility and forwards compatibility. And they're like, well, we need to do that too. So the Xbox One is codenamed Scorpio, according to a report on Polygon. And they are targeting much crazier hardware than the PS 4.5. Currently, the leaked specs for the PS 4.5, codenamed Neo, put it at around 4.6 gigaflops of operating speed. Scorpio is targeted at 6 gigaflops. I think it's teraflops now. Yeah. Gigaflops is like 10 years ago. Sorry. So the Neo is 4 point something teraflops. Scorpio is being targeted at 6 teraflops. So, considering that the current PS4 is 1.8 teraflops, the new
Xbox... That's a lot more processing.
The new Xbox would essentially be an entire PS4 more powerful than the Neo, if these specs are real, which they might not be. Plus, raw power doesn't mean anything
I was just going to say something about that. What does this mean in practicality? Like, we don't know until this actually sees the light of day.
So, I mean, that extra power could be used by Microsoft or something else. Part of the rumor is that it'll feasibly support the Oculus Rift. So, instead of making their own VR, they're just going to directly support the Oculus Rift. It would be the only console capable of doing such a thing. Because obviously the power requirements on the Oculus Rift are much higher than what PlayStation VR is targeting. The screen on the PSVR is double 1080p.
Yeah.
I think it's just 1080p split between both eyes. So it's much lower resolution. The Oculus Rift is something like quad HD in each eye, and it's an OLED screen with an insane refresh rate. So the hardware required to run that is much higher. So that extra power could feasibly just be for Oculus support. They could also be using some of it for universal Windows apps, because we know that's part of their pipeline. They want, I think the summer update to Xbox One is going to add universal Windows apps from the Windows Store. So people are going to be able to write apps not only for a Windows 10 PC, but also for Xbox.
Yes.
And you'll be able to install it on both.
The thing that worries me, which we've touched on before, is with Microsoft and their hardware, is that it feels more like PC hardware rather than what Sony's doing. And I feel like it's going to be Microsoft's going to be able to change the hardware more frequently and easier than Sony would.
No.
I don't know if there's any truth to that.
They're both PCs now.
So they're both x86.
Yeah. Yeah. Nintendo's the odd man out right now. They're the only ones.
As they always tend to be.
Yeah. The Wii U is still on PowerPC architecture. So they're still stuck in the past. The PS4 and the Xbox One are x86, and that trend will continue. The Neo and the Scorpio are both, again, x86. More powerful chipsets compared to what they had before.
Yeah.
For example, the Neo, it had a 1.6 gigahertz, I think it was an octa-core processor. That's now been bumped to 2.1 gigahertz according to the leaked specs. The GPU is going to show the biggest improvement. It had, I think, 16 or 18 computing units. The new one is going to have 36, running at 938 megahertz compared to 800 and something on the previous GPU.
Yeah.
And
on paper, it sounds like a nice improvement.
Yeah, it's a considerable improvement. The same article in Polygon about the specs says that the Neo will be roughly 2.28 times faster than the PS4. So a little over double the power. So we should see some pretty impressive games out of that.
Well, not just games, I'm just trying to think. Because the PS4, I mean, modern consoles as a whole are more than just gaming boxes. They're media devices. You know, we can watch, I mean, like both the PS4 and the Xbox have apps you can download. Like you can watch Netflix, you can watch YouTube, you've got Plex, you've got Vivo, all these other custom channel apps. And I wonder if they'll sort of find something to do in the UI with that extra processing power. Like, I don't know, picture in picture, like maybe... You know how the PS4 has rest mode, right? And you can only suspend one app, like you run one app at a time, and then if you try to run, like, say if you try to switch to YouTube while you've got a game in the background, that game will go into suspended mode. Maybe with the extra processing power, it'll be able to do those things simultaneously without having to suspend something. I don't know if that's going to be possible, because that sounds like something that would also need more RAM, too.
Yeah, you would need RAM to suspend things in... Well, it's suspended in memory, so you need RAM for that.
Sure.
The RAM is not increasing in capacity, but it is increasing in speed.
Sure.
To the tune of roughly 20 extra gigabytes per second.
Okay,
or
so
something.
At least maybe the suspending and resuming stuff will work faster.
Yeah,
at the
in
least.
Theory. And then games will have faster texture loads, so pop-in will be less noticeable. Because it can buffer that much more texturing.
Draw distance would be better.
Yeah, all of that stuff would be greatly improved by this new hardware. I think I've said in the past, it would essentially be like going from high on PC settings to ultra. That'll essentially what it's going to be like. And I would bet at Gamescom they're going to fully unveil it, and they're going to have a bunch of games that are going to launch either in that window or early next year that support it. And they're going to bring out some first and second party titles that are getting PS4.5 upgrades. Chiefly, I think, Uncharted 4.
Ah, yes.
That
new,
I think...
new title.
Yes, that I think will be the crown jewel in there. This is what a developer can do if given this new hardware and the ability to upgrade to it.
Well, there's such a huge AAA title in that.
Yeah.
What's the name of the company that does
Naughty Dog?
Naughty Dog, right? I mean,
They're the kings.
They have so much
hardware.
Celebrity that they are the perfect example of the type of company you would want to use to showcase.
Yeah, and your console. The things they're able to do with Sony hardware are nothing short of incredible. They use every ounce of power to deliver the experience they want to deliver. And Uncharted 4 is no exception. The graphics in that game easily rival any title out there right now.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what it'll look like once they give it an upgrade pass.
And I guess, would they just be able to just patch the game to enable like high-res texture mode or something?
Essentially. It depends what their asset pipeline looks like. So if they made textures specifically for the PS4, they will then have to go back to their original assets and up-res them. But everything else...
Just do a find and replace, man. Find and replace.
Oh, if only it were that simple. Other stuff, they can kind of tune up the settings. So if their engine has like you know, in a game on PC, when you change like shadow quality, lighting quality, that sort of thing, if their engine has similar sliders, they can tune all of those up. Because that'll run on the new hardware, whereas it might not have before. It depends how their engine is coded. Because I know they use a custom engine for all of their stuff.
I would buy the new PS4 console if the only thing they changed was Bluetooth low energy and decent battery life in their controllers.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm really hoping they do. Also, better Wi-Fi.
Oh my God, please, the networking chip. Please upgrade the networking.
For the love of God, add a Wi-Fi AC chip. Do it.
Dual band supports. Ugh. And yeah, please.
Like, I don't know what it is.
802.11 AC.
I don't know what it is with consoles, but they always seem to cheap out on the Wi-Fi.
Is the Xbox crappy like that too?
It's better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
it's
amazing.
Does it support 802.11 AC?
No. It supports N.
That's weird. That is so weird.
Well, to be fair, both consoles came out like, I think 3 or 4 years ago now. So, I mean, that makes sense. AC didn't exist at that point. But now it's like, okay, you're doing a new console. It goes without saying. Add it in. Otherwise, you're going to be lagging behind.
And yeah, but when the PS4 came out, I will say it came out in 2013. They should have shipped that with BTLE.
Yeah.
Whatever the standard was at that
time. Really,
I remember 4.0
yeah.
was available like 2 years ago.
It was.
So there was no excuse for that. And that was just, they were cheaping out on that.
Yeah. I'm really hoping they do an updated DualShock because, yeah, it would be really nice to not have to recharge it all the time.
I would be quite surprised if they didn't because it's a moneymaker because they sell the accessories.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to make
people
money.
People will have to buy console controllers all over again.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, the console will already come with one of them, but, you know, multiplayer.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I'm kind of hoping they do is bump up the hard drive space. So it
defaults.
No more.
500 gigs is not enough today.
It really isn't. I would like to see them go to 1 terabyte, or if they can manage it with the pricing, 1.5.
Ship it with an SSD. Have you seen people's mods with the SSDs on there?
Yeah, it's great, but I don't want to spend $1,000.
No, I know. It'll never happen, but you could always do it yourself.
I mean, they could theoretically do a hybrid drive.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Hybrid drive.
But yeah. We'll see.
I might actually do that mod because the faster loading times would be nice.
Yeah, I actually bumped up to a 1 terabyte 7200 RPM drive. That was a huge improvement in and of itself. Because the default is 5200. So just that.
Oh, is it really
5200
RPM?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So just bumping that was pretty good.
I'd be concerned about the heat, though, and the extra energy being used.
No, like it's not a regular hard drive. It's a laptop size hard drive.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's not really.
Yeah, I forget those things. They use those tiny components now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really small. And luckily, it's super easy to replace the hard drive in the PS4. You just unclip the side piece, and it's right there.
Okay. See, that's why I didn't do the mod, because I wasn't sure how much of a pain in the butt it
would
be to replace the hard drive.
Super easy. They literally have like an like if you open a PC case and there's a hard drive enclosure, it's basically like that. You just like literally pull it out, unscrew the drive, screw the new drive in, slot it back in, sure. close the case, turn it on. There you go. The BIOS already has the OS loaded on it. So when you put in a new hard drive, it loads the operating system onto it.
Ah, okay. Okay. So that's what I was worried about too, because I'm like, well, if there's, how do you get the OS on it?
Yeah, no. It's like preloaded in the motherboard, so it brings it over.
The other thing I was actually going to ask is, can you run external hard drives on the PS4?
You can use external USB drives.
Okay.
I don't know if it detects hard drives, but I know it works with USB sticks.
See, because what I wanted to do was in this aging MacBook was get the data, the OCW data doubler thing, so I can remove my... See, my optical drive in this MacBook has been dead for years, and I want to put two SSDs.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of maybe... I've only got a 256 gig SSD, honestly, but I could stick that in my PS4.
If you're planning to get a new laptop this year, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, the new MacBook Pro is going to be out fairly soon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this one's just getting, I mean, 6 years old, right? And it doesn't support. The thing is the SSD that I have in this now is not even being taken advantage of fully because the chipset on the 2010 model does not support, it only supports 3 gigabits per second. SATA, not 6 gigabits per second, like the 2011 model.
Wow.
So this is running at half speed. So yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get anything done.
It's usable. The only times I notice where it slows down is where you use intensive CPU processing stuff. Where if you're trying to process like a couple hours worth of audio and you're trying to do something, it can take quite a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely time to upgrade for me, for sure. If for the sole fact of I don't want to carry around a 17-inch laptop anymore that has like 2 hours of battery life.
If that.
Yeah, the battery also is degrading.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the new one is looking like it's going to be a really good update. If that OLED touch bar is real, oh my God. There have been some renders of what it could look like.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
The Spotify controls, the iTunes controls. Oh, so good. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
If that's what's in there.
The new hardware probably won't come out until the school year. Right? They do, because they normally do MacBooks in what, September?
Usually, but I don't know. Yeah, traditionally they usually do stuff after the back to school promotion is over, because then students can't be like, "I'm gonna get the new one and then get the perk with it." Yeah, they usually use the back to school sale as an excuse to get rid of old hardware.
Yeah, I won't be falling for that.
For example, the current offer is buy whatever, get free Beats headphones.
Yeah, right. Because Beats are the best headphones, right, Michael?
Yes, but also, we all know where this is going. Goodbye Beats headphones. Hello, Apple Beats headphones. Powered by Lightning.
You think they're going to stick their own name in front of the Beats, Brad?
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, Apple-designed Beats headphones.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Not the existing Beats headphones. There will be new Beats headphones that have been...
You're talking like an across-the-board, like, design refresh with Lightning and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of that'll be the magic new Bluetooth earbuds that are going to...
And improve sound, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they already did, like, the Solo 2 headphones were improved in, as far as audio quality is concerned.
They'll go further.
It's a natural progression.
Yeah. So they're rumored to be shipping Lightning earbuds with the iPhone 7, which, of course, is getting rid of the headphone jack. And then there's going to be a new Bluetooth earbud that has its own charging case, and that'll be sold separately. Or maybe as an upsell, you get them free with the 7 Plus.
I'm really looking forward, honestly, to the internet's response to the new iPhone without a analog headphone jack. I mean, it's going to be great seeing all those
complaints.
Yeah,
it's going to be so good seeing everyone complain after a bunch of Android phones have already done it. Nobody's complaining about
Nobody
those.
Nobody likes change. It's funny because people want change, but also they don't like change.
Yeah. It's you like...
You can't win.
The thing with this is, yes, it's going to cause some discomfort. Yes, it's going to cause some annoyance. But ultimately, it's going to be a change for the better because, as we've seen already with some Lightning headphones, case in point, the new Audiz headphones, it is a much, much better connection technology because it's not only data transfer, you're also getting power through it. So what Audiz did is they created a Lightning cable that connects to their headphones that has a built-in digital audio converter. There is an amp in the headphone cable that powers the headphones.
Why do you need that?
Because the iPhone doesn't have the right impedance for their headphones.
Right.
So with the
See,
Lightning
cable... that's
where
it always boils down to for professional like sound is the impedance stuff is always
So the iPhone's impedance is lower than your usual setup. Like it's good at powering earbuds. It's good at powering things like the RHAIMs.
Well, I try to use these AKG headphones on my iPhone. Yeah. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even get the right volume out of
it. Exactly. So to get the best use out of it, you need a DAC to be able to run bigger, more heavy-duty headphones. So the nice thing about Lightning is they can now integrate that directly into the cable because you have Lightning powering whatever's in the cable. So Makes you're sense. Drawing on the power of the iPhone directly to run whatever you have in there. So headphones can now have noise canceling, a built-in DAC, a bunch of other features, and they don't have to have batteries in them anymore.
That's definitely a plus. Do you think Apple would ever do a wireless headphone with the option to plug in the Lightning cable and charge it off the phone?
Yes. That's a patent that they have. It uses MagSafe, in fact.
Ooh.
So you'll literally have wired headphones that you plug in, and then when you don't want wired headphones anymore, you detach, and they instantly become wireless headphones.
And you don't have to deal with the, you know, pulling the cable, or you know how with those stupid analog, this is why I hate the mini jack. Sometimes if you don't get it in 100% because it doesn't quite click, and then you don't, the audio doesn't sound right, and it's just a crappy connection.
It really is. I mean, we've had it for over 100 years. As I've said before, it's old, it's tired, we need to replace it. We only have
You keep saying that, but you know, I haven't questioned you on that. How have we had that analog connection for over 100 years?
It's essentially the same connector that's existed since it was invented.
Huh.
Like, the idea of having this metal thing connected to a wire, it's been around a long time. A long time. Not like the pin format has changed over the years.
Of course, right.
But
the fundamentals you're talking about.
The fundamental technology has not changed for over a century. So like those old radio operator headphones that they had like during World War One or whatever, same tech.
Yeah, I mean those use a quarter inch jack. Yeah. Like which is what these headphones use, which is like you're saying, the same technology.
Yeah. Like anything that uses a metal plug to connect and get audio, it hasn't changed. So it's time we went digital. It's time we had the phone do all the heavy lifting because all these technologies, noise canceling, DACs, they've all had to rely on battery power or wired power external to the device you're using. But with Lightning, you can bundle all of that stuff in and power it directly through the same port. Like it just makes everything so much more efficient, so much more streamlined. You can put so much more into headphones than you were able to before because, I mean, those Bose Quiet Comfort headphones, the ones with all the noise canceling and stuff, you have to put batteries in those.
Yeah, that's not great.
So
it's not ideal.
Now, with Lightning, you don't have to do that. You can just have the noise-canceling chips, and then while it's plugged into Lightning, that stuff is all powered on. Done.
What does this mean for the Mac as far as audio is concerned?
Yeah.
And I'll use the term Mac, too. Let's just include iMac, MacBook.
Yeah.
Would it make sense, I guess, to eventually move to whatever this new mini USB-C connector will be, and just all the products across the board have, you can plug in your Apple Lightning headphones in any Mac.
Yeah. So obviously Lightning is proprietary Apple, but USB-C, Apple is on the board of the working group or the SIG or whatever, just like they're on the SIG of Bluetooth. In fact, Bluetooth 5 is actually about to be announced next week. So we can probably count on the iPhone 7 having it. Maybe. I mean, it depends if it needs a hardware update or just a software update.
Yeah, I actually want to know more about Bluetooth, but it's interesting though, because we're talking about changes to audio on the iPhone and obviously eventually the Mac, but it wasn't too long ago where actually Apple, I don't know if you remember, but on like a MacBook and the iMac as well, we used to have both a headphone port, like on this old MacBook Pro here, both a headphone port and a line in. They got rid of the line in. So they're not opposed to making these kinds of changes.
Oh,
it
yeah.
actually annoyed people when they got rid of the line in on the iMac.
Yeah, but I mean, this is par for the course for Apple. They do this stuff all the time. They got rid of the floppy disk before everyone was ready to get rid of the floppy disk. They did the same thing with the CD drive.
And but people quickly forget about this stuff too. There's the initial outrage, and then 6 months go by, and it's like, oh, this is the best thing ever. We didn't need it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the MacBook. Oh, one port? What the hell is this? And 6 months later, oh, this is fine, actually.
I like how last year, YouTube guy, Mark, what's his name? MKBHD or whatever. Mm. I'm getting the name wrong. But he said the next iteration of the MacBook will have two USB-C ports. You can quote me on that.
The new MacBook Pro might, so...
It would make sense on the MacBook Pro, but not the MacBook. That's not the type of product it's trying to be. It doesn't need to have so many ports.
No.
If you're missing that much I/O, it's probably not the right product for you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just
doesn't even have the right processing power. Like, you can't use it for any serious audio video production.
No.
It's meant to be this light usage, long battery life, mobile product.
I mean, it has a Core 2 Duo in it, for God's sakes. It's not even an i3 or an i5. It's the crappiest Intel chip.
Yeah. And the MacBook got a refresh this year, but I'm sure eventually it's going to improve substantially. Like, maybe next year's model will have a quad-core chip, maybe?
Maybe. I see the MacBook, though, as their low-range product.
Yeah.
I see the price eventually coming down
I was gonna challenge you on that, because it's not a low-range product.
No,
it's not cheap.
It's not yet,
and
but it will
be.
More
expensive than the Air.
Well, the Air was around the price of the MacBook back when they unveiled it. First.
Right.
The first MacBook Air was around $15 or $16.99.
Yeah, people forget that. It was not cheap.
Same as the MacBook is now. But then it eventually came down in price, and you can now get a MacBook Air for $9.99. So the same thing will happen with the MacBook. Then mid-range, you'll have the 13-inch MacBook Pro, then the 15-inch MacBook Pro, then the iMac, then the Mac Pro. Obviously, we'll probably get a refresh of the Mac Pro this year.
Yeah, it'll never happen. Just like the Mac Mini,
just
right?
Like,
they care about the Mac Mini, too.
Yeah, just like they were never going to redesign the Mac Pro, right? It was always just going to be that old silver tower. Forever.
It's just weird, you know, there was that long period of time between the 2012 Mac Pro and then the major redesign and all this hoopla. They were like jazzed about the major redesign and all the work and R&D that they put into this. And then they just stopped.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, I honestly don't blame Apple specifically. A lot of this is on Intel for delaying their chips.
I know. And we've talked about that too. We don't want to beat a dead horse. I know a lot of it is riding on Intel getting these chips out, which again goes back to that whole argument that we've brought up on this show about Apple making their own chips for the Mac eventually at some point. That's got to piss them off.
Oh, yeah.
Greatly.
I mean, imagine you're designing this amazing hardware and then you're waiting for these chips to come out.
It is literally sitting on a shelf waiting for chips.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with the new MacBook Pro. I'm sure they wanted to release it sooner, but they needed this new Intel chipset that's more energy efficient to be able to run it all. And they're like, okay, where's the chipset? And Intel's like, sorry, guys. And Tim Cook's just like, well, maybe not.
But you know what? I'm sure it's, surely it's not just Apple that's upset. I'm sure, surely it's not Apple that's upset. I'm sure OEMs are also upset because,
yeah,
you know, Dell is Intel's biggest, probably one of their biggest partners, right?
Not anymore.
So I'm sure
Apple would be now.
Apple would be? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, in the PC world, Dell is still big and their enterprise stuff too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, not getting access to the latest stuff has got to be tough for a company. When your business relies on a third party, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why Apple continually tries to get rid of third-party connections.
Yeah, we're in the middle of it's a weird spot leading up to WWDC.
Yeah, we will obviously have a lot to talk about next week.
A lot to digest, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And of course, we can always have a live hands-on demo of stuff since I'll be running all the betas because I'm a madman.
I will not be. So you will be the guinea pig.
Yes, as always.
I mean, I don't mind running the public betas on my phone because they're...
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty stable, but yeah, running early iOS major, they can get, yeah.
iOS 9 early on wasn't that bad though, to be honest. Like iOS 9 was pretty solid all the way through.
But if iOS 10 is going to be big, I mean, there probably will be lots of API changes and apps that will not work right.
It's going to depend on what they change. Which obviously we don't know until Monday, but...
No, I actually never thought about doing this, but I'm wondering with testing OS 10 betas, can you install it on a separate partition and run two different versions of OS 10? I've never actually tried that.
You could in theory, yeah.
Yeah,
if your hard drive's big enough.
Yeah, that would be good to do.
Yeah, I don't see why you couldn't.
Or in a VM.
I think VMs are more temperamental, especially around betas, like Parallels or whatever. They'll have to update to support the new OS. In theory, you could run it out of the gate, but there will probably be issues with it, especially around the new features that have been added. Because obviously the VM is used to dealing with the features it knows about. So
sure.
If the new OS adds a ton of stuff like Siri, it's not going to know what to do with that, in theory. I mean, it should probably be fine, but I would expect hiccups.
Ooh. And on that yawn, you've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm here with Michael Norton, as always. And if you'd like to show your support for this show, please go to patreon.com/hologram radio and join the other lovely donators that have decided to support the work that we do here on this podcast and the network at large. Donate a buck or two or whatever you feel comfortable parting with. It would help us greatly cover our hosting and bandwidth costs. You can also subscribe to the show to ensure you get every new episode each and every week in iTunes, in Overcast, and Pocket Cast, and whatever podcast player you like. But it would help us greatly if you could take a moment and drop a rating in iTunes for us. I know it's kind of a pain, and for some of you that are not on a Mac or don't have access to iTunes, I guess we're out of luck. But if you do have iTunes, please take a moment to leave us a rating. We would sincerely appreciate it. You can follow this show on Twitter at The Impromptu for show updates. And you can follow Michael Norton at Zen Impulse. I'm Alex Knight at Zero Distraction and Hologram Radio. If you want to check out the other shows on Twitter as well, we're on Facebook under the same name and Instagram at Hologram Radio Shows. And if you'd like to send feedback to either Michael or myself, send us an email to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.